Call to order the council meeting for August 26th. If everybody would rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Remain standing for prayer.
Dear Lord, bless the decisions of this body, guide us tonight and in the future as well. Amen.
Amen.
We have roll call.
Mr. Mayor.
Here.
Mr. Brink.
Here.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
Mr. Chapman.
Here.
Mr. Clark.
Here.
President Rose.
Here.
Mr. Salters.
Here.
Mr. Sebring.
Here.
Okay, adoption of the agenda.
Oh, okay.
We do need to add something to the agenda. Do I do that now before we adopt this? Under miscellaneous, I'd like to make a motion to add Ben Rager, consultant to the clerk treasurer, to the agenda under miscellaneous. Now make a motion to approve the agenda. Oh yeah, we gotta vote on that first.
We need to vote on that. Then I'll call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Now make a motion to accept the agenda.
Second. Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Ms. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Next is approval of minutes from the August 12th meeting.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of August the 12th.
Second.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, moving on. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Seeing none, we'll move to committee reports. Public safety, Councilman Chapman.
No report.
Environmental management, Councilman Clark.
Yeah, we did have a meeting this morning
of the solid waste board, and our next meeting comes up on September 23rd. Our agenda was quite low this morning, although we took care of our cost of business, and that was the paying of the bills, and that was the only thing probably on the agenda of any consequence. So that's what went on today, and like I said, our next meeting comes up on September 23rd, our September meeting for solid waste.
Thank you, Councilman. Budget and Finance, Councilman Brown.
Yes, we're going to have a meeting Tuesday, September 3rd at 4:30 p.m. to further discuss the budget. It's going to be a committee of the whole, and Mayor said he would be here. Clerk Treasurer Culp said he would be here. So
4:30
on September 3rd, next Tuesday.
Planning, Zoning, Community Development, Councilman Brink.
Our next meeting will be also September 3rd at 6 p.m. No other report other than that.
Tourism Promotion of the City, Councilman Rose.
We have the chili cook-off coming up on September 14th, and then Vincent Lincoln's homecoming is October the 3rd, so we should have a lot of people in town.
Legislative Review, Councilman Sebring.
No report.
City Services, Councilman Salters.
No report.
Report of any city officers. Being none, we'll move to old business. Ordinance 17 2013, rezoning from I-1 to C-1, 1216 Washington Avenue, Williams Brother.
I want to say one thing on the old business part of it. On our meeting of August 12th, we had the ordinance 17-2013 rezoning from I-1 to C-1, 1216 Washington Avenue for Williams Brothers, and the vote was 6-1. Voting no was Mr. Clark. Mr. Clark did not vote no on the issue of none of those. Mr. Clark voted on the one about, I took for granted that it wasn't for us to talk about the new part of the, trying to find it here, on the part of it, and I checked, and what happened was Mr. Rose got it from the attorney that we can vote on that by virtue, what was it, Mr. Rolinger?
Usually a vote to approve and refer.
Yeah, okay, and like I said, my vote was not on that part of, my vote was no on the other part. So I'd just like to just publicize that. I was not voting against something that we need here in the city of Vincennes. Okay.
Make a motion to have second reading on ordinance 17-2013.
A motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Chapman, to have second reading of ordinance 17-2013.
Ordinance number 17-2013, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, amending chapter number 159 of the Code of Vincennes, amended zoning ordinance.
Any discussion?
Does this not have to go to the area plan?
Didn't it go?
No, not until the first of the month. We won't have a meeting until then.
Area plan's not
no area plan has not heard this. We won't have our meeting until the third. We could go ahead and do a second approval and then the next meeting do the third. Yeah, so we could do that, so that'll be fine with me.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
I'd call for the question then.
Mr. Brink?
Wait. No, are you sure that's not for Dixie Shouse to make that decision? One member of the group cannot make a decision.
We're not, Pat.
Okay, then I'll not vote for it anyway.
Okay.
Well, what we're doing, Pat, is the final vote would be on third reading. So what we're doing is just moving it forward on second, then we'll wait until area plan meets, and then we'll get their recommendation before we would make a final decision either for or against.
All right.
So the process
is really not
changed from what our normal procedure is, except it's just we're a little out of sequence on when area plan.
So I just wanted to be sure.
Yeah. Final decisions will not be made until the next meeting after area plan meets. So, okay. Then we have a call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, second reading passes with a 7-0 vote. Move on to new business, ordinance 18-2013, additional appropriation for edit payment, BLA, and SME.
Make a motion to read ordinance 18-2013.
Second.
The motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Chapman, to read ordinance first reading of 18-2013.
Ordinance 18-2013, additional appropriation ordinance from the edit fund for payment of BLN $16,200.11 from edit fund for SME for the Brownfield grant $138 in sections 1, 2, and 3.
Any discussion?
What is the SME Brownfield grant, what is that going towards?
$138.
Okay, so it's just management fee?
It's just a grant management fee.
Okay.
And then we get all that back from the grant.
Right.
We're refunded through the grant.
Okay, very well.
Any other discussion?
And the other one is the railroad,
Second Mid-Black.
For levy, the.
Right, levy railroad.
Yes. Okay.
There's no other questions or comments, I'll call for the question then.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes. First reading of ordinance 18-2013 passes with a 7-0 vote. Next is resolution 13-2013, tax abatement for shot.
Make a motion to read resolution 13-2013. And Mr. Culp, please let the record show that we had a public hearing at 5:45 and there was no one to speak for or against this tax abatement.
Second.
Got a motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Brown to read resolution 13-2013.
Resolution number 13-2013, resolution approving tax abatement on new manufacturing from Dot North America. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Any discussion?
You want me to discuss it? I was waiting my turn. Anyway, I'm Yvette Kirkhoff. I'm here on behalf of Schott Gemtron. Tim Kiger is with me as well, and it's Schott North America for this tax abatement. Sorry about that. It's my job to run through the statutory requirements and make sure that you are aware of the fact that Schott has complied with all the requirements. In order to get a tax abatement, the plant footprint has to be declared as an economic revitalization area, and that has been done so, and it was done in 1989 via resolution 6-89. We are asking for a tax abatement on personal property only, and the personal property value is, or cost, excuse me, is $4,768,000. The tax abatement would start once each component of each of the little projects is assessed, and it would hit the assessor's office, and then we would have staggered tax abatements as we go through these projects. Attached to your petition for tax abatement, which you should have received in your packets, is an itemization of some of the major components of the new equipment and machinery that will be installed at the plant. A lot of it has to do with adding robotics to the process, having robots shelve or put ceramic cooktops into shelves and really mechanize the process a little bit more. And what this does is it increases quality, increases productivity, and helps us use those employees in different positions. This tax abatement is about helping us prove up the capital investment for these projects as well as retaining the employees. This tax abatement will help us ensure that we can keep jobs here in Vincennes by being competitive with the mechanization of the lines and retain the current employee rate at this point. We filed our statement of benefits, itemizing what we believe to be the benefits to the community if this tax abatement is granted. We filed that with the auditor, Knox County Auditor, and the city clerk on August 15th. We also filed the petition for tax abatement, which had the statement of benefits attached on August 15th. We've also copied and given you in your packets a copy of the proposed resolution 13-2013. The public hearing notice was advertised in the Vincennes Sun Commercial on August 16th, 2013, in compliance with Indiana Code 5-3-1 at SEEK, with a 10-day notice for a public hearing. The affidavit of publication was filed by Jody Schultz of our office on Friday with the city clerk's office. And at this point, I believe we've complied with all the statutory requirements to to request the tax abatement, and Tim Keiger is here to answer any questions you may have about what we're asking for.
There was only one question that we had during the public meeting. We see here in April of 89, you had a tax abatement, which would have expired in 99, obviously, it's a 10-year tax abatement. Do you have any other outstanding abatements at this point in time?
Yes.
Or was that the only one?
Yeah, in the 89 resolution, it set up the ERA into perpetuity.
Okay.
And then I believe in my 2004 abatement, we reaffirmed that as of now, the ERA designation does not have a time limit. So the footprint is not time limited. The tax abatements running on the footprint are limited to 10 years, mm-hmm. and we have a few of them running now, and they are staggered.
Okay.
And the master sheet of how they're running is kept by the Knox County Assessor's Office, and as the state downloads personal property AV to the assessor, that's when Kathy will know when to start the parts of these, because these are all, this is several projects within this 4.7 million. So then when that hits, then the first one will start on its 10-year life cycle, the second one, and so on.
Okay.
And also, I asked Tim if it was all right to ask you all if you'd like to take a tour of the plant to see where some of these upgrades are going to be put and see some of the really neat stuff that's going on right now within the plant. So, and you could coordinate that through Tim.
Yeah, that'd be great. Anyone else?
Any other questions?
Anything else?
Just to reiterate what I said during the public hearing, we're delighted with the investment. This is a series of investments in that plant, and we appreciate that.
Well, we have to keep up because there's a competitor, a direct competitor, that's just opening its doors in South Carolina. And although that's not like sending the jobs out of the country, it is sending them out of our city, and we want to keep these folks here.
Absolutely.
In our
Absolutely.
Taxing districts.
Right.
Well, we know Hoosiers are better workers than South Carolinians.
Absolutely. Well, don't tell the Trotters and McCormicks who are all going out there for a wedding this weekend.
As long as they come back, it's all right.
They better be.
Yeah.
Call for the question.
There you go.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Resolution 13-2013 passes with a 7-0 vote.
Yep.
Nope.
The resolution signed
Thank you
very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Great business partner. Thank you.
Yes. Next is Resolution 15-2013, Declaration of Dormant Funds, Neighborhood Facilities in the amount of $48,683.33.
Make a motion to read and approve Resolution 15-2013.
Second.
Got a motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Chapman, to read Resolution 15-2013.
Resolution 15-2013, a resolution of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Knox County, Indiana, containing Section 1 and 2, declaring a Neighborhood Facilities Fund Number 213 dormant.
Any discussion?
Cheryl, you want to tell us what this is about?
Real quick, basically it's taking the money out, putting it in a general fund, and then you'll see some claims at a later meeting that are going to be charged for the compost site, for the upgrade in software in the clerk treasurer's office, and John's had to have equipment for when we joined the 811. Yeah, these all show up as claims.
It's my understanding, Mayor, this has been a dormant category for
a while.
A long while.
Right. And everything I just named off, we're going to have to pay from somewhere. So we thought we'd just transfer this money into general fund. and pay it through that.
Call for the question.
Call for the question.
I got it. Can't find my paper.
There we go.
Sorry. Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, Resolution 15-2013 passes with a 7-0 vote. Next up is claims.
Make a motion to pay claims in amount of $354,449.10.
Second.
Got a motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Sebring to pay the claims. Any discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, claims are paid by a 7-0 vote. Next is miscellaneous. Ben Roger.
Mr. Culp, did you want to? Okay.
For the record, David Culp, Clerk Treasurer, Mr. Mayor, Ms. President, and Vice President Brown, members of council. When I campaigned for office, I ran on the premise that I would try to do the best that I could to find money in which you could spend to operate the city. We have continued to do that since January 1, when we came on board and we worked together in passing the money out of the pension program for police and fire. And we continue to do that. Currently, for about the last year, I've been working with the leadership of the council on something called excess levy. The county council passed this excess levy last year, and we submitted some paperwork to you this year on it in the neighborhood of $375,000. And a lot of conversation was that we didn't want to increase property taxes, anything along that line, and trying to think a different way to approach this. In front of you now is a paper from my office, and it says that the situation is that you can go for approximately $150,000 instead of the $375,000, and it will not raise anybody's property taxes for 2014. So I thought that was in mind from what I've been hearing about we don't want to raise taxes. This still may be a way to win the lottery on this program, because how it actually works, the county now, they've received a lottery for life, you might say, on future budgets. Once the excess levy is approved, then in addition to the normal money set forth by the state, like right now we're to get 2.6% new money, which amounts to about $120,000. Well, next year the county council will get their normal 2% or whatever it is, but on top of that they will get $300,000. So if you see where this could benefit us, the future members of the city council and my office, the mayor's office, and all that will have hit the lottery, because every budget that comes around you will have an additional approximately $150,000 that's added to your budget. And this is from my office, the city of Vincennes. This is not for me personally. I like to create a buffet for the members of the council and the mayor's office as far as ways to generate money to take care of the citizens. Would like to say that leading city in the state of Indiana has to be Carmel. And I shared with the mayor when we took office an article out of the Star where the mayor in Carmel said, if you like city services and you want good city services, then you have to have a tax system where you can afford those. So on this. I just encourage you to listen to what Ben Rager has to say on this, and please, if you have any questions, ask him, because I can't see, the mayor and I spoke with Ben earlier on the phone, and I can't see where it's not a situation we want to do. We're going to get 150 and we're not raising any taxes because we're swapping some things out of one fund into another to do that. So if you all don't have any questions for me, well, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Rager and see if he can answer your questions. First, he'll tell you actually how it works, and it will fit with that paper that you have in front of you. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Ben Rager. First off, I want to give it a little background of the appeal. The appeal itself is based on the fact that the city's property value over the past 3 years has increased faster than the state average. And as a result, the state actually allows units to apply for something called a levy appeal. As I said, city's property value has increased. We put this into numbers. The city's overall tax rate in 2011 was 4.37%. The 2013 tax rate was 3.53%. The primary reason for the decrease is the increase in assessed value. So that's a little bit of background before the appeal. Now, I guess whenever we passed in the information last week, one holdup was increasing the tax rate on taxpayers. So we looked at it from a different perspective, in the sense that what would happen if COWIT was shifted along with this a levy appeal. And the way it's going to work is you would need, I see you got the sheet in front of you, you would need about 1.659386 of property tax levy from the fire fund to the general fund to offset COWIT, which we would then allocate to the fire fund. Now, you can see that, I guess how the savings would be involved is, because there's a bigger tax base for the city's general fund, because all taxpayers within the city pay the city general fund, whereas in the fire fund, only city taxpayers that pay a fire, are covered by city fire protection, pay the city fire rate. So therefore, for each dollar that you levy into the general fund, there's actually less of a tax rate associated with it, because that money is spread out over a larger tax base. It's spread out of roughly about $450 million tax base, whereas the fire fund's got a tax base about $412 million. So in front of you in this worksheet, you can see that if we shift the levy, that would actually increase the general fund rate by 0.3688. And how that would with the fire fund levy would actually, same decrease of 1,659,386, so net zero. But the tax rate associated with that same 1.659386, or 1.6 million, is 0.4021, which is a higher tax rate than was associated with the money within the general fund. So that concept alone, there would be a tax decrease by shifting how the property tax levy is allocated. Now, you figure this combination along with the excessive levy appeal, the city went ahead and rather than decrease the tax rate, apply for an excessive levy appeal, the rate would be about 0.0333. You're looking at about an additional tax levy, $150,000. As a result, the city taxpayers that receive fire protection would pay the same tax rate as they did before. Now that's the tax rate for the taxpayers that do not receive fire protection will be higher, but it's my understanding that most of those homeowners are already at the rate caps, and if so, they would pay no higher tax regardless of their tax rate increase. And I guess from a revenue standpoint, that's where this lower section comes into play. Under the current scenario, for the general fund, we're projecting, the projection says about $3.8 million of property tax related revenue, $1.4 million of COWIT, for a total combined property tax and COWIT of $5,222,000, 717. Now, under this new scenario that's proposed, you would, the same property tax, the property tax revenue went to the general fund would be $5,222,717, but there'd be zero of COA, so there'd be the same amount of revenue as it is currently with the COA in the general fund versus COA in the fire fund. Now, the second part of the worksheet shows the fire fund. Currently, the projection shows expected of $2,118,240 of property tax-related revenue for the fire fund under the current scenario, and under the revised scenario, there'd still be $2,118,240, except it'd be split up between property tax and COA instead of property tax. So, bottom line is, the amount of revenues for the funds would be equal, the tax would be equal, except there'd be more levy available by shifting the COA.
Obvious question.
Yeah.
The downside.
See, it doesn't increase taxes paid by taxpayers. It increases your tax levy, so those seem like two positive things.
You say it won't affect 2014, but what about 2015?
That's a decision that's up to the council, again, in the city, if they want to go ahead, and depends where you want to put the COET. If you keep the COET, continue to keep it in the fire fund, then there'd still be the same effect as in 2014.
So if this would be something that you would want to continue without effect of the taxpayer, just be due diligence of keeping this split?
Yes.
But
thank you.
One thing to add to this too is our assessed valuation. At different times, the mayor and I both have spoken with Kathy Lane, the assessor, and she is telling us, which I think Ben knows also from his work, that our assessed valuation in Vincennes for next year will be going down. And so this excess levy is based over a three-year period. And so our last 3 years have been fairly well as far as assessed valuation, and that's due to a new assessor coming in and maybe getting a little more rigid about what values properties should be. And then probably in the last 2 or 3 weeks, you received at your residence a forecast of what the taxes or assessed valuation of your homes would be. And I feel confident that yours matches a lot of people that I've talked with, and they are actually a little lower than what we were assessed last year. So I guess if the fruit is ripe, this is the time to pick the fruit and not try to do it next year. I don't even know if we can, but if we do, it's going to be based on a lower assessed valuation, which wouldn't generate us enough money to hit the lottery to do approximately the 150.
Any more questions? I guess procedurally, as far as it would go, you have until October 19th to go ahead and adopt a resolution for the levy of people.
Based on what we know now, again, we haven't really seen a downside to it. So what I would recommend is that ordinance be drawn up to put this before us for our meeting so that we would meet that timeline should the council approve it. But by requesting that be done, that doesn't put anybody on the record here as we're going to do it, but at least gets the vehicle in front of us to do it. So that would be my recommendation.
I just had one more kind of quick question. Just want to make sure I get this right. You said those that weren't in the fire district, they might see a rate increase if they weren't at their cap.
Yeah, but it's my understanding, I guess It would need to be some double checking, but it's my understanding that most of those homeowners are at the rate caps that are outside the fire district. That would be something that would need to follow.
Okay.
And just to contrast what is being proposed here, correct me if I misstate this, we as a city government are eligible to apply for a $375,000 excess levy, which if we did that would be identical to what the county council did last year. And as I understand it anyway, they applied for the maximum excess levy that they could receive. Is that correct? I mean, Dave, I don't expect you to know that. But what we are looking at here is a proposal far less than what we are eligible to receive because of not wanting to have a negative impact on people's taxes paid. That's the rationale for applying for 150 versus the 375 we're eligible for. But we're not for concern for that. It would logically basically apply for the 375,000 because, as we heard from the departments in their budget hearings, there certainly is ample need for additional funds for all kinds of different needs that are unmet now. So I just wanted to explain why we're looking at one figure versus another. Does anyone have a problem with having the ordinance drawn up to put this before us to at least so we can have a formal consideration of it?
I think we should too, Mr. Clerk Treasurer, for our next meeting.
That's kind of unanimous, not just two of you.
You want us to vote?
Anyone objects to that being done?
Or just a show of hands, just something so we're on board with you.
Okay. Have a show of hands. Okay. You want to take the vote?
What would the vote be? Just to put the ordinance before us so we can consider it? Okay. All right. So I would make a motion that we have an ordinance drawn up and put before our next council meeting so that we can deliberate them.
I'll second that.
That's what the motion you're looking for?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a motion by Councilman Chatton, second by Councilman Clark, to draft a resolution to be presented to this body before this next meeting pertaining to this.
Who will be drawing the resolution?
It's actually an ordinance, isn't it?
Or, I'm sorry, ordinance. Who would be drawing it?
Is this an ordinance or resolution?
Ordinance is probably be preferable.
Okay.
Sure, our able legal counsel could assist with that. Clerk Treasurer provides him the proper information. Is that correct?
We already have the, I don't know if you remember, but Mr. Rager is an attorney also.
Okay.
And we already have a resolution from last year that we did. And Mr. Rolligan knows how I feel about him, but I mean, this is actually.
So in other words, they're going with their guy instead.
Yeah. It's one of those things that if we can keep it in my office, I would really appreciate that since we already have those things. And the other one is, we have that 10-day notice to the public, and Mr. Rager was kind to say that it's October 18th or 19th, but it's not really that because that's the day that DLGF has to have it, and we don't want to create the same situation where we're down at the last minute slamming things to them. So if we can go like your motion was, that would work fine. That would be fine. Do I need to call a vote, or how do you want to?
Yeah.
Is this something that?
Thanks for looking at all the references and resolutions.
Yeah.
We're
He still needs to look at the book.
Yeah, anything that's done, even I've written resolutions and courtesied them to Mr. Rolick, and we have an agreement that anything that comes up, he gets to look at, so.
Okay, so let's. You need a 10-day notice.
It would be included as part of the budget advertisement, so it's not like the CCD where we'd need a separate public hearing on that.
Okay, so we just need the notice. So we'll be okay. Our meeting's on the 14th.
Our meeting's on the 9th, isn't it?
I'm just thinking if it came down to the wire in October. Okay.
Any other discussion?
Call for your question.
Thank you. Mr. Brink?
I'll be willing to look at anything. Can't tell you I'd vote for it, but I'll be willing to look at it, so yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And it's just proceed to bring the information forward to you, to whatever your decision. Present an ordinance.
In ordinance form.
Thank you.
Okay. Nothing else? We need a...
Mom always said it was too good to be true.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
You're adjourned.